talk Saturday. What happens on Saturday? I don't know. So this thing makes one do. The basic ideas again and again in the last 2 meetings, I'm going to repeat them today, but at a different fashion. I haven't got many charts, so please, between you, make more. If you can make four groups here, three groups here, if you can make. Sorry for the inconvenience. Six more groups. Sorry for the inconvenience. Meaning it has a shell, it has a brown, yellow center, and it has white all around. It has a yellow, brownish center, and all around the white of the egg. This is the common structure of an egg, isn't it? This egg could be the egg of Brahma. It still has the same shape. It still has the same construction. It has the yellow and brown center. It has the white of the egg. And it has a shell. If you have a little more connection in the yellow of the egg, you have infinite mind, or the universal divine mind. This, who is the smallest, the physical or the cellular? The still bigger is the astral or the molecular. And the biggest is swaha, that is molecular, electronic or atomic. This is known as infinite mind. This infinite mind is known as chitti. From what we get in the real mind, chitta. This chitti is an immense ocean in which all the three universes flow. Here, this smallest of all the three universes, who? The physical cellular universe. It is so immense. It has got 15,000 million galaxies. One average galaxy, the diameter is 100,000 light years. It is so big. It is said that if we can go out of our galaxy, the Milky Way, and try to find our solar system, it will be more difficult to find it than build in a haystack. In that solar system, there is a tiny little world on which we live, and we are 5 billion or more. And each one of us thinks he can do so much, he knows so much. That tiny little thing. Okay. So we are somewhere lost, not to be found. It says what? We go further up. This is the shell. The shell of the egg. Whether it is Brahman, whether it is a hen's egg, as I told you, the law says that the chick must break the cell and come out. The mother will not break the cell for the chick. The law says the chick will break the cell and come out. And if it is Brahman, this egg is Brahman, egg of Brahma, and you and I are chick, we have to break the shell and go. Go where? Is Jana, is Tapa, is Satyam. Tamu Satyatya. Dapar half. The upper half you see what? You see absolute of Param Satyam. The blue. Then you have manifest absolute of Satyam. This absolute Param Satyam. The vibrations are so high, nothing can be created. In unmanifest absolute satyam also nothing can be created. If you come down where the vibrations are still lower, you get tapa, divine wholeness, where absolute can manifest. And little lower down, you have divine fragments of jana universe. This tapa, I have called divine wholeness. What do I call? This tapa I call divine wholeness. In the Tapas we call Paramatma. This divine wholeness is all Paramatma. But the vibrations are too high, here the vibrations are enough for creation. So this I call tapa, I call divine wholeness. And what things come out as fragments, I call divine fragments. This divine fragment, only the Gita calls them spirit, other pastors call soul. Gita calls these divine fragments spirit, other pastors call soul. Why? Why? These you see, I have given you here only lines. These spirits, they have no body, they have no brain, they have no mind, they don't need air, they don't need food, they don't need prana. So they are known as spirits. These, if you see them here, the second part, you find human beings. In the lower one, there you find human beings. That means the spirit that has descended into existence and has an outer body and now needs a brain, needs air, needs food, needs home, needs a car to go, needs a house to stay. This is embodied spirit called Atma. About the spirit, Gita is very beautiful. Whatever is called spirit, that means divine fragment. And that is a part of Paramatma itself, part of absolute. These are called beautifully. Spirit in second chapter. I will recite to you what Gita says in second chapter. The material body, here we find it, material body, which is the eternal, indestructible, immeasurable spirit inhabits our mind. But see the adjective view, they are good enough for satyam, param satyam. Eternal, indestructible, immeasurable. So the spirit is described by Gita in this beautiful term. Further he says, he who thinks that the spirit kills, or he who thinks of it as killed, are both ignorant. The spirit kills not, nor is it killed. Again, the same qualities of satya, it was not born, it will never die. Now once having been, ever ceased to be. Unborn, eternal, ever enduring, yet most ancient, the spirit dies not when the body is dead. As a man discards his threadbare robe and puts on new, the spirit throws off its worn out body and takes on new. It is named the unmanifest, immutable. Wherefore, knowing the spirit as such, thou hast cause to grieve. But the best is what I like now. One hears of the spirit with surprise. Another thing, it is marvelous. A third listens without comprehending, as we all listen without comprehending. But, so many are told about it, scarcely is there one who knows it. This is the beautiful description in Gita about the spirit that you see here in this dialogue. To go into space in a spaceship was Kartik, and he came back frustrated, not able to know Brahman. It is said that Ganesha is a very wise god, so he did not go into the space in a spaceship. He went round his self, and he knew what there was to be known in Brahman. The meaning behind this is what? The mind is so vast, there is no possibility of transportation. There is no possibility of transportation. Even if you go at the speed of light, you require millions of years to cross the mind. If each galaxy takes 100,000 years, light takes 100,000 years to cross the galaxy. The transportation is out. What is possible is communication. Communication. That means Ganesha was in communication with his parents, and they were knew what there was to be known in Brahman. For you and me, we can be in communication with infinite mind to know what is possible in Brahman. How shall we do it? There must be a way to do it. How shall we do it? This infinite mind is supposed to know everything that is worth knowing in Brahman. Having told you that it is so big, so wonderful, so vast, let me tell you that the shastras dismiss Brahman as Maya. So instead of repeating Maya, I will repeat to you the word bubble. Read the word here. Bubble is existence. That in the center you see in big words. Bubble is existence. So this mighty, huge, the mind is about. You and I, being in this bubble, have the structure of the bubble. What is called bubble in Hindi? In Gujarat they also say papapuna.
Papuna.
So, you and I, we are in this bubble. If the gods and the goddesses were in the bubble, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, the custodian of the bubble, are all of the texture of the bubble. Forgive me for saying all of that. But what is bubble is bubble. Understand? Let us see the best. First we will reach the primitive part of it, lower down. Existence is not projected out of divine wholeness. In a small part of divine wholeness, see, in the first you will see, here, you will see this is only a projection of what this is here. So it is not outside of divine wholeness, it is a part, a small corner of divine wholeness. So that is what it says. Existence is not projected out of divine wholeness. In a small part of divine wholeness is the domain of mind. This is called the domain of mind, jitti. This is called the domain of mind. In jana, tapa, satyam, there is no place for mind, even for infinite mind, for universal divine mind. It is the substance that occupies that space within divine wholeness. And in this bubble are the three universes, Swaha, Bhuva, Bhu, with Maha or Mahakal all around this bubble. But that, it may be better understood. The existence is shown enlarged and separate, but it is not so. The bubble that is existence is the exile. For the spirit, once it steps into the bubble, it is exile. You and I are in exile. But we like our exile. We like to stay here. That's the first part of it. Just because we do not know we are in exile. If we knew we are in exile, we might try to search our home, our country, real country. And that is here, divine wholeness and jana, divine excitement. This is our celestial home. This is our exile. We are in exile. The bubble that is existence is the exile. It is shown in large popularity. It is not outside of creation. The divine excitement can return to source and leave exile to reach the celestial home. You and I ultimately, like a little chick, must break this shell and return to jana, tapa, satya. What does Yoga Sutra talk about? At the back you'll find a few slokas or sutras from Yoga Sutra. I remember them 1 to 8. Are they there? First with the last one. It says, consciousness is one that produces the various forms of the many. Consciousness is one. This is one. Param satyam, satyam, tapa, jana, whatever you call, the entire creation is one, consciousness is one. Yet we see millions and millions and millions as divine fragments. But that is not multiplicity. Here in this small room we may be 50, 60. This is multiplicity. But here is the divine spirits, they are one. They can merge into each other. They can merge into divine wholeness. They can come out of divine wholeness. Atma can merge in Paramatma, come out of Paramatma and be Atma. There is no multiplicity. There is no separateness. only here in this exile are we separate. And that is why the Janta Dal cannot rule. Then we go further. We will read now number 3. In the case of a man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. What does it say? In the case of a man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. That means any one of us, any one little chick that can break this shell and go to celestial home has achieved. See, Yogacara use this term beautifully. Somebody else is saying, cause contrary to yoga. There it says, the man who has achieved yoga. What does it mean therefore? Yoga is the way of life. It says, don't live according to yoga, I am abnormal. You have a wrong idea. That if you live according to yoga, I am normal, and those who are not living according to yoga, no! The man who is living according to yoga is normal. So, what does it say? Then, in case of the man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. There is no need for exile once he goes back to celestial home. But, it says, kill for those who are yet not free. That is it. When ignorance is brought to an end, when ignorance is brought to an end, it does not say brought to an end, meaning you yourself must bring it to an end. It will not be brought for you. It is not automatic that ignorance will go. So it says, the Yoga Sutra says, when ignorance is brought to an end, to non-association with the things perceived. What are the things perceived? In exile you see everything. Human beings, houses, cars, this, that. All the things perceived in exile. And ignorance is brought to an end. To non-association with the things perceived. This is the great liberation. What we got so easily, moksha, moksha. If it is round the corner, go to grandpa, buy it from the shop. One thought of moksha so easily. It is out of stock, normally. Then comes a beautiful statement. Number 6. The man who can discriminate between what? Between soul and the spirit. The man who can discriminate between soul and the spirit. What is he? Achieves supremacy over all conditions and becomes omniscient. That means when a man reaches to a knowledge that everything here in this exile is a passing of there. It is here today, not tomorrow. And know for certain, understand for certain, no philosophy is required. You have to understand and believe because you have experience, not because you have read somewhere, somebody has told you. When that's the kind of experience, when you know that this is bubble I am in, that the home is elsewhere, that you break through the shell and go back home, that you realize that. At that time it is stated that the man who can discriminate between soul and spirit, that is supremacy over all conditions and become the only fact. The purpose of telling you all this is what? That the Brahman is saying, that we are in exile. It is not to give you a wrong impression of against caste disputing. and you're saying what? Yes, you are saying what? Here you are saying the bamboo stick. And you see a green bamboo. You may have seen that old worn out bamboo that has become brown. But if you are saying a green bamboo, it will be like this. There will be not, a little less green here, a little more green here. It is one long bamboo. There are no separate pieces. One long bamboo. And if you see it, at one hand it is Satyam, Chaka, Jana, Maha, Swaha, Bhuva, Bhu. There is no difference between exile and celestial home. There is no difference at the same time. The whole idea being that nothing can exist out of God, out of Satyam. Nothing can exist away from Satyam. You may talk in various terms to understand. But it does not mean God is residing here and I am residing here. That I have to go from here to here. In exile I am in my celestial home. In my celestial home I am in exile. This is the beauty of Indian thought that is to be understood. The Indian thought is the most beautiful thought. How it is one? So beautifully woven into one. And all your philosophy ends into one. Because nothing can happen. But when you see, the sutras here also say something. The transfer of consciousness from a lower vehicle into a higher is part of the great creative and evolutionary process. If I am in exile, the more I am in my celestial home, I have not done a very big thing. If I am divine fragment, if I am spirit, with the body I can be here, without the body I can be there. And it is not a school where I go from first standard to second standard to third standard to fourth standard, then magically. No! That you are not separate, you are not useless, worthless, you are not separate from God. There is only one thing that comes between you and your God. The infinite mind. It is part of us as our individual mind. That is why the sastras say, the greatest obstacle is mind. It is the mind that today makes you think you are in exile, and tomorrow can make you think I return home to my celestial home. It is the mind that can drop this useless thing which I don't need, and I can be back home. But, it's a very big capital but. But, still I am in a position to not only understand but work for it. Then it is possible. So we come back to our old notes of our last two meetings and try to understand them in this life now. Please, said that we have to understand the basic ideas in yoga. Going over briefly the notes of the last two meetings, we have the following understanding. That
created limitation. If I am what I am today,
it's not your fault. It's mine.
It's not God's fault. It's mine. Understand? If I am what I am today, or what you are today, it is not your fault or my fault.
For your sake, it's not my fault. For my sake, it's not your fault. It is the individual's fault for
self-created limitations. Understand? What are the self-created limitations? I have a mind that works like a chicken. I have a brain that works like a fool. I have a body that is painful and useless. I have no will. And I don't do anything worthwhile. And then I cry. What is this life all full of care? We have no time to stand in care. But there is no need in complaining. I am what I am because I created myself thus. Life after life I have worked myself thus to be what I am. Self-created limitations. Brain. Mind stuff. And their function. Against that you see infinite mind, individual mind. We have a brain. And perhaps science thinks there is nothing better in creation than the human brain. The stupidest thing possible. His brain. The diseased brain normally. Of which we don't make use of a hundredth of a part. There are supposed to be 15,000 million cells of which I don't make use of 100,000 or 10,000. And the rest rots, unused. Then I blame, I am like this. What use have I made of what I have been given? Then there is mind, this infinite mind there. The greatest obstacle to human progress. That mind, that infinite mind, very close to you and me, it is called my mind, individual mind, chitta. It is all around and we breathe and say, this is my breath, as if it belongs to me. My breath belongs to atmosphere. My mind belongs to infinite mind. And I have my diseased brain as my possession. That is why I live under self-created limitation. As if this is not enough. There is no communication between brain and mind. I have just told you that this Brahman, it's a mere egg. A little part it occupies in tapa. It is so vast, there is no question of transportation. We can't transport ourselves, it's too big, impossible. But communication is possible. That communication we have not established between our brain and mind. Then comes what? The thinking instrument and the thinking principle. Plus, in our notes we have realized what is thinking instrument. The instrument part of the brain that makes us think. The forebrain, the hindbrain, the top of the brain, that is the cortex, that is the thinking instrument. And the thinking principle, you see in the chart, incoming impulses and memory. That is thinking principle. The thinking principle with the thinking instrument creates thought. The thinking instrument we have no control of. That is why I call the brain a diseased thing. An ill, very sad structure called brain. Because we have no control over this thinking instrument. If I want to read a book, And the thought that it is 11 o'clock, my son or daughter has not come home. Where is she? It's an accident. And I read, hardly I read one paragraph, the mind goes, she has not come, she has not come. What has happened to her? My thinking instrument, I have no control. It will do what it likes, not what I like. We are armed with six instruments. And we want to reach God. Oh, great ambition. Then we have the thought formation. We have got memory and incoming impulses as the thinking principle. And then we have finally the senses and the sense organs. We have the five sense organs. You all know it, no? Five sense organs. Do you know the senses? No. We don't know the senses. We have the sense organs, and what are the senses? We don't know. We have a wire, and it is a useless wire. But if electricity flows through it, it's a powerful, dangerous wire. Sense organs are like that wire without electricity, it's useless. But if senses flow through them, it becomes electrical, dangerous, powerful wire. In the same way, your sense organs become powerful, dangerous weapons. You have a powerful, dangerous weapon, a thinking instrument over which you have no control, and a brain that is sick. Where would you like to go now, further? To an asylum? To an hospital? Or to malaria? This is the normal life picture. Correct? And all this normal life picture is finally our structure. Is finally our structure. The Hindu sastras have that beautiful word, sanskar. Sanskar. I am what I am because of my sanskar. Finally. This sanskar is made up of that rotten brain, those two sense organs and senses, and no control over my thinking instrument, that is no sanskar. With this sanskar, I want to travel across the Brahmand and reach my celestial home. Very ambitious project. As I told you just now, I've shown you this, no? This I have shown you. Whatever we might talk, however ill and rotten we are not what we are. We are one with God. Still I say that, same thing again. And how can I say with the same breath that I have a rotten brain, I have no control over my thinking instruments, my senses and sense organs, I don't know. And still I say, I am one with my God. I am God. Why do I say that? I say that because if I can take care of my sanskar, what prevents me from being God Himself? What prevents me from being God Himself? If I take care of my sanskar, if I take care of my structure. Now comes the great Hindu thought again. Sanskar, structure, whether this is wood, this is tile, this is steel, this is human flesh, it is structure. And this structure, this sanskar is made up of jana, of sattva, rajas, tamas. This is the structure, my sanskar. If I can change this sanskar, if I can change this structure, if I can manipulate my sattva rajas tamas, where will I be? I'll be there. I need not cry about my rotten brain and anything else, isn't it? So, we come to it now. In all my three last meetings, including today, I have been talking on the same subject from different angles. Correct? Is it clear now what brain is, what mind is, what organs are? You now, something is clear or not? You're very near becoming God.
So,
this brain,
is
one little possibility. However rotten it can be, it has got one beautiful possibility. Every morning when you want a little butter, you turn your milk and get your butter. This little brain, rotten brain, is able to churn infinite mind. There's a method of communication. And if that method of communication, it can churn that infinite mind and get the reply. Do this and you'll get this. You need not open any encyclopedia and know. Knowledge gathered is useless. In millions of lives, you cannot gather knowledge enough. And knowledge can be correct knowledge and incorrect knowledge, both. So the best way to know is, learn that infinite mind, get a reply. I want to break through the shell to go home. And the reply will come. Do this. That is the beauty of the human brain. That beauty doesn't exist anywhere in that Brahman except with the human mind and human brain. That is the great solution. The human brain can manufacture something, can churn something, get some reply. Because behind that stupid brain stands a mortal God, Ishvara, Gurudeva, that is within each human being. That is able to push the brain into communication with the chitti, get the result. Entire basis of yoga without philosophizing is change structure, change your sanskar, churn this divine infinite mind and get your own. And get out of all the silly conditions. But again, see at every stage you get here and get opposite of life. Here, what did we read here? The practices and methods are not the true goal of transfer of consciousness. You will say that I am doing this, I am doing that, and that is maybe the cause of my progress. No. That is not the cause of your progress. A farmer has a field. What does he do? He breaks the big log of dust into small dust, removes the weeds, so that when it is time to sow, he will sow. The rain will fall and the harvest will not be made rotten by the weed. He doesn't grow, he can't grow. That will be done by God's law. The seed will sprout in the harvest, it's God's law. All he will do is prepare the field, remove the weeds, so that when the harvest comes, it is not by the weeds. So, when you do your practices, the practices and methods are not the true cause of transfer of consciousness, but they serve to remove obstacles, just as the husbandman prepares his ground for sowing. That means, I will be preparing myself to churn. And if there are certain obstacles, certain practices and methods will remove those obstacles so that I will be able to churn. My ability to churn has been given to me. As a human being, it is given.